Almost hate to break it up when everybody's out there talking and shaking hands and smiling. We're going to continue in the Old Testament for a while. I like to preach out of the Old Testament. It shows a lot of the character of God. It's not just a book of history and poems. Paul said it was left for our example, for us to learn from. This morning, we're going to talk about if my people, and I left it there. Of course, if you know the quote, it's if my people pray. And sometimes we have a little different idea, I think, than God does about prayer or what's required. I've known people who think you got to have your eyes closed, your head bowed when you pray. But you know, the truth is that Jesus and the rest of the Jews generally prayed with their eyes open, looking up, and their hands held up. So Paul told Timothy, let people lift up holy hands. I only do the on my knees pray when I'm really in trouble, seems like. I pray a lot when I sit. I pray when I drive, so I keep my eyes open because I don't want that to turn into a face-to-face conversation or hurt somebody else. I actually had a guy pass me on the highway one time when I worked construction, and he had his Bible up front of him and was reading while he's driving. I thought, you're getting ready to meet the author real quick. You know, you keep doing that. And I've heard it say, well, you just pray. Or sometimes we wait till the situation gets real bad, then we say, well, I guess it's time to pray. When we've tried everything we can, now it's time to pray. And actually, we ought to pray at the beginning of it. You know, let God be in control. This morning's text comes a time when Solomon had established his throne. David gave him a charge to build the temple. David had gathered all the metals, the wood, everything needed. And God wouldn't let David build a temple, but he said, I'll let your son build it. Solomon builds a temple, and they have this great time of dedication that lasts for 8 days. Sacrifices, feast, time of fellowship and praise. And during the ceremony, Solomon prayed to God before all the people, and he said, Lord, please put your name in this building. He said, I know no building can hold you. He said, heaven itself can't hold you, but would you put your name here? He said, Lord, if we sin against you and pray towards this temple, would you hear us from heaven and forgive us? He said, if we sin and you drive us into another nation, we become captives. He said, if we turn to you with all of our hearts and pray towards this place, would you hear us? He said, if a foreigner comes here and prays towards your temple, would you grant his or her request so you will be glorified? And it says that they were offering sacrifices, and fire fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple, the smoke and the glory, and the priest couldn't stand to minister. And it said the people fell on their faces, and they shouted for joy. So they knew that God had accepted Solomon's prayer and the sacrifices offered, and that he had put his okay on this temple being his temple. But the Lord appears to Solomon in a dream, and he answers his request. And that's where the text is this morning. 2 Chronicles 7, verses 12 through 14, says, Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer, and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Father, your word does not return to you empty. It accomplishes what you send it out to do. And as I preach your word this morning, Lord, you said that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you're in the midst. We welcome you into our presence, into our midst this morning, Lord. And Lord, Holy Spirit, I ask you to do what you were sent to do, to convict of sin, judgment, and righteousness. Open our eyes to the truth of this scripture that we may better understand what you require of your people. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When Moses asked to see God's glory, God consented. We've talked about that, especially Wednesday night. We're in the book of Leviticus. It's kind of amusing to me when I'm reading in that part, and Israel had sinned with the calf, and God said, Moses, your people you brought out of Egypt, they, you know, look what they're doing. And Moses, now they're your people. God said, no, they're your people. You brought them out. And Moses is interceding for them. And God is so angry. He said, I want you and the Israelites to leave, but I'm not going with you. He said, you are so hard-hearted and so stubborn, I'll kill every one of you. In fact, at one point he said, Moses, leave me alone in my wrath. I'm going to wipe everyone on the mountain. I'll make a nation out of you. And Moses said, no, if you won't forgive them, just blot my name out. But Moses finally says, Lord, I can't do this by myself. And the Lord says, well, it's about time you figured that out. So he had Moses pick 70 elders. God said, I'll put my spirit on them. And these men are going to help you bring the Israelites into the land of Canaan. And then Moses, some people might think he kind of pushes a little bit, but he said, now show me your glory. And God said, Moses, you can't see my face and live, but here's what I'll do. I'm going to put you in the cleft of this rock. And he said, I'm going to put my hand over your face, and I'm going to pass by you, and I'll declare my name. And he said, you can see my back. And when the Lord passed by Moses, he said, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Praise the Lord. God said, this is who I am, Moses. But sadly, many stop right there, and we presume upon the grace of God. As Peter said, sometimes we will use His grace as a cloak to hide our sin behind, or to hide ourselves behind. And this morning, I want to address the issue that Solomon presented to God. If we pray with all of our hearts, will you forgive us? Will you hear us? And God says to Solomon, if my people humble themselves. Humble means to be subjected or to be subdued. This is what God said through the prophet of Isaiah. For thus says the Holy One, the One who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. What a promise. Isaiah went into the throne room of heaven in a vision when he got his commission. And he said, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. His sin was exposed in the presence of a holy God. And God told a cherub to take a coal from the altar and touch his mouth. And the cherub touched Isaiah's mouth. He said, now your sin has been atoned for. Here God is talking to the prophet that saw his glory, and he said, Isaiah, I am holy, and I dwell in a high and holy place. But he said, you know who else I want to dwell with? Those who are humble. You see, without humility, you can't approach God. You can, but it doesn't do any good. God is holy. And I've said this, and I'll continue to say this, you cannot be saved until you see that you need a Savior. I told a man one time who wanted me to explain this to him, and I said, you like to fish, and I like to fish, and if we're fishing on a deep end of a pond, on the dam side of it, and you fall in, and you're struggling, and I reach out a stick to you, and you slap it away and say, I don't need it, I'll get out on my own. And I said, you continue to cough and struggle, and you're not getting out, and then I reach my hand out, and you slap my hand away and say, I don't need your help, I'll get out on my own. I said, then you drown. Do you think I'd be blamed? He said, well, no. You offered to pull me out, and I wouldn't let you. And I said, that's what salvation is. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God is talking to sinners and saints. And he said to Isaiah, you know who I listen to? The ones that humble themselves. Is that just so God can say, I can prove I'm right? God is so holy and can have nothing to do with sin or unrepented sin, he won't listen to your prayer. God said, you have to humble yourself. You have to subject yourself to my word, and you have to be subdued. Then I will listen. So the first thing he said to Solomon when he said, if we pray, will you forgive us? God says, number one, if you humble yourselves, you can't offer a prayer of arrogance. You can't offer a prayer of excuse. You cannot justify your sin to God. You have to humble yourself and line up with Him and say, I'm a sinner. I am a sinner. I am your enemy. I have done things that are worthy of death according to you. He said again in Isaiah, this is the one whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. You can't tremble at God's word if you don't believe it's His word. That same gentleman told me, I'll believe the Bible's the Bible if an angel comes down and hands me a copy. I said, well, you might as well forget that because Joseph Smith already claimed that happened, and that's where the Book of Mormon came from. I said, God is not going to send an angel to you, and if He did, you would still say, well, I want more proof. It said, in spite of all the miracles Jesus did, many did not believe in Him. That's why people tell me, if God would just do this in my life, I'd become a Christian. No, you wouldn't. You'd give Him another thing. You'd throw the fleece out again and say, well, that's not good enough. God, do this. The fact is, you don't want to come to Him. You don't want to change. Just be honest. I respect that in people more than I do the excuses. If you don't want to change, just say, God, I don't want to change. I'm enjoying my life the way it is. I don't want you involved. That's why it takes humility. God said, Solomon, if my people will humble themselves. He said, Isaiah, this is the one I listen to, those who tremble at my word. Jesus said it this way, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said that. You know that's how He began His Sermon on the Mount? And Jesus didn't just throw that together like a lot of preachers do on Saturday night and say, well, I got to preach Sunday morning, so I'm going to put this together. I had a Baptist preacher tell you, well, I just get in the pulpit and open the Bible and whatever the Lord lays on me, I preach. And I thought, yeah, I've heard some people comment on your preaching. I can tell that's how you do it. No thought, no study, no goal. You know, you don't even know where you're going. Now, God does bless that when it needs to be. But Jesus, in His Sermon on the Mount, it said He opened His mouth and taught them, and the first thing out of His mouth was, blessed are the poor in spirit. The word poor there isn't a working poor person. It's somebody who is destitute and driven to their knees by their poverty. They're forced to beg. They're forced on the kindness of others. And Jesus said, spiritually, you need to come to God as a beggar. Well, that ain't going to happen. Well, then you ain't going to get saved. Plain and simple. God's not going to hear your prayer until you come to Him in that spirit as a beggar. Can you save yourself? Some people think they can. Well, I've had guys say, well, you know, on the day of judgment, God's going to weigh my good against my bad, and if my good outweighs my bad, I'll go to heaven. That would scare me to death if I thought that's how God's going to judge me. Because I know me pretty good, and I know He knows me better than me, and I can't stand before Him like that. Oh, Lord, don't let me stand before You on my goodness. Well, I might be better than some of you, but Jesus Christ is the one I should compare myself, not any of you. You won't stand before me on the day of judgment. I won't stand before you. That's why I don't care if you judge me now. As Paul said, I don't care. I don't even judge myself. Except when it's sin. You see, to humble yourself before God, you have to agree with His judgment against you. It's sin. Jesus said you're blessed when you're poor in spirit. Every one of these have a promise. God said, humble yourself. Then I'm going to listen to you. You got my ear. God said, now I'm going to listen to what you have to say if you're humble. He said, if you're of a low spirit, I will come to you. Jesus said, if you're poor in spirit, yours is the kingdom of heaven. What a promise. Paul said, godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. Worldly grief produces death. You want to see an example of that? Judas Iscariot. I don't know how many people said, you know, brother, I think Judas went to heaven because the Bible does say, especially the King James, Judas repented himself, and that's what the Bible says to repent. But you see, there's two words in the Greek for repent. That kind of repentance is selfish. Well, I'm busted. I did wrong. And Judas was sorry. He said he was. He said, I betrayed innocent blood. And all the law can do, the law said, well, what's that to us? That's the law. We can't help you there. Yeah, you did betray innocent blood, but that's on your head, not ours. So said Judas went out and hung himself. That's worldly sorrow. But the Bible says godly sorrow leads you to repentance, and that's where God wants you. A holy God, separate from sinners, undefiled, says to the sinner, when you call on me in humility and you acknowledge to me that you know that you are a sinner and needing my salvation, I'll come to you. He said to the Jews, come now, let us reason together. God inviting us to reason. He said, let's talk. I know your sins are like scarlet, but they'll be white like wool. Is anything you do, all you're doing is obeying and coming to him. All you're doing is humbling yourself and saying, Father, I have sinned. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to give an explanation of sin that you think is going to please the Lord. All you have to do is acknowledge, I'm wrong. The next thing God said is if they'll pray and seek my face. I looked the word pray up in the Greek and the Hebrew, and it means pray. I was a little disappointed in that. I thought, well, it'll have some lofty meaning, but it just meant to pray and petition, to intercede, and to seek my face. That word there, face, in the Hebrew means my presence. Do you ever pray and seek God's presence? Well, I don't even know how I do that. It means you stay there until He answers you. The old timers called it praying through. You pray through. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given to you. The Greek says, keep asking, keep knocking, keep looking. God wants persistence. When Daniel was praying and confessing his sins and the sins of Israel, when he understood the 70 years was up, he'd been praying for 21 days, and he said, on the 21st day, a man appeared to me and touched me on the shoulder, and Daniel looked up at him, and he recognized me. He said, I'm Gabriel. That's one of the top angels. And he said, Daniel, the minute you opened your mouth, I was sent here with an answer, but the prince of the king of Persia has withstood me 21 days. Gabriel said, the minute you start praying, God the Father said, go give Daniel this answer. And Gabriel said, on my way down, I ran right into a demon. And we've been fighting. And he said, Michael, your prince, come and help me. Tag team wrestling. I love that. Michael could come down there and tag him out. Go on, Gabriel, I'll take care of this. What would have happened if Daniel would have prayed 10 days and quit? Well, I'm not getting through. God's not listening. You know God wants that from us. Jesus said, keep asking. Well, I'm not getting anything. Keep asking. Well, God's not listening. Keep asking. Well, I don't feel the victory. Well, keep asking. That's what seeking His face means. It means to seek an audience with God. You want to be in His presence. And I'm going to tell you, if you've ever prayed and come into the presence of God, you don't have to ask anybody, do you think I was in God's presence? You'll know. The Lord said to Jeremiah, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. What a promise. You know, the Bible says He doesn't upbraid. That means He doesn't put you down and say, you're just too rotten. A holy God says, I can only do it the right way. And He says to the sinners, if you will seek me with all your heart. And He's talking to His people here, His saints. And they have sinned, and God has judged them. That's what Solomon's praying about. You're judging your people. Can we just pray? And God said, no, you can't just pray. You have to humble yourself, and then you have to seek my presence. Why? Because we need your presence, Lord. I'm praying for the Spirit of God to fall on this church as on the day of Pentecost. I'm not asking for signs. I'm not asking for tongues. I'm not asking for fire. I just said, Lord, you pour your Spirit out just like you did at Pentecost. And it's going to prove to some that just the apostles didn't have it, for one thing. And we need the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you what it was like for me when I was first filled with the Holy Spirit. It was like the Holy Spirit put one hand on Jesus Christ and one hand on me and brought us together and said, Rick, this is Jesus. Oh. And when I read the Word, it was alive. We need the Holy Spirit in this church. We need Him. And I'm praying for Him, and we're going to get Him. because Jesus said, if I am evil and I can give bread to my son instead of a rock, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And I'm going to keep asking till He falls. Don't be freaked out when He comes. Jeremiah said in Lamentation, is it not from the mouth of the Most High that good and bad come? Why should a living man complain, a man, about the punishment of his sins? Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven. I've experienced this as a Christian. I probably will before the Lord comes back. That you get sin in your life that gets a victory over you, and you come under such condemnation, and you begin to complain and say, God, what is going on? I don't understand this. Where's the victory? And God says, well, you need to humble yourself and seek my face. In humility, I say, I can't do anything about this. The power of sin, but Jesus Christ broke it on the cross, and He promised that to you. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. The Greek says, may it never be so. How should we who are dead to sin live in it any longer? The answer is, we choose to. We enjoy it. God, this is my pet sin. I gave up whiskey and wild women. Don't ask me to give this up. And God says, then I can't do anything for you. And we come under a condemnation sometimes that I've just been too nasty. I love Paul's testimony. He said, you know my history. I was a murderer and a blasphemer. But when God, Paul said, but God. I love that. I was a murderer and a blasphemer. But God, when He met Christ on the road to Damascus, His life was forever changed. And Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament that we have. Jeremiah said, let's lift our hearts and our hands up to God in heaven. Your hearts. We sing praises in here on Sunday morning. And you know you can stand here and sing praises and your heart not be right with God, and all you're doing is making noise. Same way with prayer. Remember what God said? This is the one I'll listen to, the one who's humble. This is the confidence, John says, that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. What is God's will? That's something you need to ask. Am I praying in God's will? Well, I can tell you one thing that's His will. It stands out in the Scriptures. God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of repentance. So that means when I'm praying for my loved ones who don't know Jesus Christ, I'm praying in His will because God doesn't want them to perish either. And I know and I trust that He's going to work. Now they can still say no. That's a scary reality of being free will. They can say no to God. But I know that He's done everything He can. That's according to His will. Is it God's will always to heal? I don't think so. Is it God's will that I live in prosperity? Jesus said, why are you worried about what you eat and drink or what kind of clothes you wear? So my answer is no, not to me. My reading of the Bible tells me that God's worried about my spiritual condition. He's worried about whether I'm going to spend eternity with Him, because He said to the prophet Ezekiel, I don't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. But He said to David, I delight in the death of my saints. When the saints die, God says, I love that, because they're coming home. When the wicked die, I hate that. We kind of rejoice when the wicked die. I remember when they hung Saddam Hussein all up. Never anybody ever deserved hanging more than him. Boy, the Holy Spirit thumped me on the back of the head and said, hey, he needed Christ too. What a loss. A man with that much charisma, if he'd have found Christ, imagine what he could have done for the kingdom over there. The last thing the Lord said is, let the wicked turn from their ways. Paul said to the Thessalonians, he said, let the thief steal no more. That's repentance. That's, you know, just stop it. But you know, it doesn't stop there. God takes you just as you are, but He's not going to leave you that way. And I saw that one day. I was reading that. Paul said, let the thief steal no more. Well, that makes sense. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't be stealing. But do you know what? He goes on, not just to stop, but to start. But let him work with his own hands that he may have to give to those in need. The thief, the taker, becomes a giver in Jesus Christ. That's the kind of work the Holy Spirit does in your life. It's not that you just stop doing the bad. And a lot of Christians, I'm sorry to say, judge their spirituality on, I don't smoke, drink, and chew and run with those that do. Well, neither did the Pharisees. And Jesus called them pretenders. And he said, how will you escape the damnation of hell? It's not the don't do's, it's the do's. And if the church would do the do's, we'd be too busy not to do the don'ts, and we wouldn't do them. You can tell I used to do speed, huh? But it's that plain. I read that one day in Thessalonians. Man, that got a hold of me. I said, wow. Paul didn't just say, now the thief stops stealing, that makes him a Christian. He said, you stop being a taker, you be a giver. And you work. Work's God's idea, guys. I know that's a four-letter word to a lot of people today, but it was his idea and plan. And he says, you work so you can give. Turn from your wicked ways. Not repent to some extent. Repentance means to change your mind and your ways. If God says this is a sin, you line up with him in humility and say, God, you're right, I know it's a sin. And in humility you say, God, I can't defeat this sin, but you can. And God says, I'll listen to that prayer. It's funny how a lot of us will trust him for our salvation, but we don't trust him to sanctify us and set us apart for a holy purpose. We don't pick our cross up every day because that's uncomfortable. If I pick my cross up, I got to lay something down. If you want to live, you got to die. That doesn't make sense to us. We got to die, the Lord said, yeah. He said, if you hang on to your life, you're going to lose it in the end. But if you lose your life now, you're going to save it. Especially when you lay it down for me. Well, God convicted me about cigarettes, and brother Tom there ought to be convicted too. You leave Tom alone. Let the Holy Spirit deal with him about his cigarettes. If God convicted you about them, leave him alone. Put him down. He didn't call you to be the convictor. He called you to be the convictee. His word will accomplish what he sends it out to do. You know how I finally quit tobacco for good? God, the Holy Spirit, said to me, that's a God in your life, and you shall have no other gods. And that broke my heart. And I said, Lord, I want you. I don't want that as a God. Jesus said we sin because we're ruled by sin. But he said, I come to set you free. Are you free? Some of you are. Do you want to be free? Solomon said, Lord, if we sin and pray, will you hear us? And God said, if you humble yourselves and you seek my face and pray, and if you repent and turn from your wicked ways, then and only then will I hear you. That's conditional. Not works, it's conditional. A man beats his wife. I've seen it on the ambulance. Get up there. She's crying. He's crying. Especially if the cops are cuffing him. Oh, I'll never do it again. I love you. She takes him back. He beats her again. We come back. We treat her. He goes to jail. Honey, I love you. You know I wouldn't hurt you for anything in the world. Beats her again. My question is, lady, how many times do you have to get your head thumped before you figure out this guy is not a man of his word? How many times are you going to approach God like that and say, God, I love you so much? And God says, well, then get rid of this. Get rid of this pride. Get rid of this backbiting. Get rid of this sin. And you go, oh, God, yeah, I like you a lot. But I don't know if I can get rid of it. God has not changed. I want to tell you that, church. We're under a different covenant, a better covenant, the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ, which the Bible says cleanses our conscience from acts that lead to death. How much more should we pay attention to those things we have learned? We just read that in Hebrews this morning. How much more? Well, brother, I'm praying and I ain't getting through. Have you humbled yourself? If you're praying and you feel like God's not listening, especially if you're a Christian, you have sin in your life and you know it, and He knows it, and the Holy Spirit's convicting you, and you're praying, say, well, I'm sorry, and God says that's not good enough. Don't blow that off and say, well, that's just the old devil, because that is very much the Holy Spirit saying, you are not listening to me. Humble yourself. Tell little Johnny, don't hit your sister with your fist, so he goes and gets a hairbrush and nails her. You don't look at that and say, well, he obeyed, he didn't use his fist. But we do that to God. If you're struggling with sin in your life, Christian, this morning, I'm talking from experience. Do exactly what God said. Humble yourselves. Don't play games. Don't make resolutions. I was the king of that. God, I'll just try my best not to do it again. Never worked. When it worked for me was when I fell on my knees and said, God, I need you. And that's when God said, here I am. I'm going to work with you. I can deliver you. Why don't you stand this morning? God is a God of mercy and justice. I didn't finish that scripture. He said to Moses, I love and I forgive, but He said, I won't pardon the guilty. I'll visit the sins of the fathers to the children of the second and third generation. Boy, that's harsh. God's talking about unrepentance. Do you hear the promise in that? Humble yourselves, acknowledge that you need me, and God said, I will come to you. If you're here this morning, and you've been thinking about being a Christian, or you've been thinking about joining this church, if you're an immersed believer, come forward and let's talk. Don't leave here today without taking care of business. What's our song of invitation?
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
See on the portal.
you'd like to talk to me later on, we'll have a sit down and talk. If this message is spoken to you and you think you need to receive Christ, then please don't leave here today without coming and talking to me or one of the other elders. You don't have a promise of tomorrow. I don't have any written prayer requests before me at this time, so I'm going to ask Brother Wayne to close in prayer and ask the blessing on the meal also.
Rick, remember Hank has surgery this Tuesday.
Thank you. This Tuesday Hank is having that foot surgery. I'm sorry. Rebecca's going to be having surgery in October, so keep them in your prayers also. Brother Wayne, would you close for us?